Who are you?
My name is Mario.
What are the hot audio beats?
Incredible.
Hey, mucho más.
This program is about you.
This is the Mario Solis Marriage Show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Erin Hardy. Mucho Mas is here. You know, about the torture memos, what are we going to be talking about in terms of that? How hard is it going to be to investigate this now that they're going to be exempt for prosecution? Maybe they would have gotten immunity anyway at any kind of hearing. But the reality is the authors of the torture memos should, I think, to be held accountable in some fashion or another. Because if you don't, they're going to keep trying to do it over and over and over again. It's 5:06 whenever our country is threatened. And that is not, I think, a productive way for us to behave in the long run. Dennis C. Blair, however, director of National Intelligence, cautioned the memos were written at a time when the CIA officers were frantically working to prevent a repeat of September 11th, 2001. These methods, read on a bright, sunny, safe day in April 2009, appear graphic and disturbing, Mr. Blair said in a written statement. But we will absolutely defend those who relied on these memos. Okay, maybe the ones who relied on it, but what about the ones who actually wrote them and set it up for them to have to do that? John in Golden, welcome to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good afternoon.
Hi, Erin. How you doing?
I'm well.
You know, I spent 38 years in the federal government in Washington, D.C., and these people that did that, whoever they were, violated the Constitution. You just can't let that go. These CIA people, half of them are freak jobs. Who would you think would you hire on to a position that said, oh, you got to bang somebody's head against the wall? I mean, that's just unconscionable as far as I can see.
And yet people watch 24 and think it's cool.
Oh,
you know?
Well,
I mean, we live
sick
in a society. Well, you know, if you read David Sirota's fine column today, I mean, about why we're still in Columbine mentality in terms of how violent we are. I mean, up here, the headline today, people buying guns and ammunition in droves. So it isn't just the CIA who are nut jobs lusting after violence. You know, it's the enemy is also us internally. The American people are some of the most violent people on earth. I'm not sure why. It may be because we're dog-eat-dog capitalistic. It may be because we don't think enough about the finer points of our Constitution. I don't know. I always get stymied by that question when I'm asked for it by people from outside this country. How about you?
Well, you know, I don't know the psychological aspects of people buying guns, but the only thing I can tell you that these people did this voluntarily. They didn't smash somebody's head up against a wall just for because somebody told them to. They did it for a promotion or a quality increase. They did it to get something on a record saying they got some kind of information. These are not the people that you and I normally meet on the street. And anybody that signs on to that is signing on to a lifestyle that's fraught with violence. I just can't excuse anybody of doing it. Tom Hartman said today that they tortured Zabib's children, 7 and 10 years old.
Oh,
what kind of a sick mind
children?
Would do that?
Oh, that's awful. I thought they just threatened. They actually tortured them?
Well, that's what Hartman said,
oh,
you know,
dear.
And I heard that from my wife, okay? So it's secondhand.
No, I'm not sure. Yeah, I had not read that anywhere, but that's not to say it's not true because Hartman's usually pretty accurate, and maybe
no,
your wife is too.
They're a different breed of cat when you talk about CIA operatives that do this kind of thing. It's like having a policeman on the beat that's violent.
Well, see, and this is part of what, you know, and it all ties in together. When I think about the teabagging, you know, the tens of hundreds of people who turned out for the teabagging demos, you know, if I were a news anchor, or even a pundit for Fox News, I would have been embarrassed to sit next to some of the signage that was there, the racist nonsense, that was there in terms of, you know, picturing Obama again, yet again, as a monkey, not very original, but, you know, as Adolf Hitler. I mean, these guys are just, but you see, it's, and I don't mean to mix that with legitimate CIA agents necessarily, but here's what bothers me. Is that this kind of this kind of thing can be used. You know, people say that it was to mollify the right. The right can't be mollified. The extremists who are out at that Fox News protest, they're crazy. You know, I mean, those people are never going to like Barack Obama or a liberal. Never, ever, ever, no matter what happens. You know,
yeah, there's 26% of the population that are just not going to like it, no matter what.
I hope 26% isn't racist and violent, but there you go.
Well, you know, let's hope not, too.
Yeah.
But, you know. Getting back to my point, you know, normal people don't hire on to those kind of jobs. That's just not.
They go through psychological testing. I don't want to malign an entire group as a class.
I don't want to do that either. There are some good people. Some people that actually didn't torture.
Well, I keep thinking about the woman up here, the customs agent who interdicted a terrorist on his way to bomb Los Angeles, because she was smart enough to read a nervous person when she saw him. You know, I mean, it's like those kinds of agents I want on my case every single day.
Yeah.
You know, I want observant, smart intelligence officers busy every day. And there are some things, you know, John, I think we're naive if we don't think that there are going to be some things that they have to do that perhaps you and I would feel queasy about.
Well, I tell you, they're a strange breed.
I'm not sure I could be a sniper and lie down on a deck of a ship. I wouldn't be a good enough shot anyway, and I'm a pretty good shot.
I probably wouldn't either.
Lie down on a deck of a ship and shoot somebody in the head from whatever yardage it was, and it was pretty impressive. It was badass, you know? That was, and that kind of stuff, I cheer. So am I violent? I don't know. I think I have both inside me, and I think we all have to think about that more often.
Well, I just
That's
don't.
What I, think.
I just have a hard time allowing somebody to beat somebody's head against a wall and get away with it.
Pay attention to the trial going on in Greeley, Colorado, of the guy who beat a woman in the head. And the excuse is going to be that it was okay to beat her in the head because she was a transgender and she was on her way to becoming a woman but wasn't quite there yet. And because the guy was dissatisfied with the sex, Andrade, who's on trial for murdering the young woman in Greeley.
You sure that's not Saudi Arabia?
No, that's here. That's in Greeley, Colorado. That's in Greeley, Colorado. And he bashed her head in so bad the blood spatter was all over the wall. But the excuse is going to be, well, he was entitled because she was really a man and she wasn't a woman yet, so she fooled him.
Well,
I'm sorry. That's just incredible to me that could ever happen.
That's pretty bizarre. That's right.
But yeah. But I think, you had said it takes a different breed of cat. You know, there are some people, and I'm not saying they're just in this. I guess what I'm trying to say to you is don't just pick on the CIA. They're mean, evil, violent people everywhere. And
generally speaking, they don't hire on to be like that, though, Aaron. You know,
Think they did. I think they wanted to. Look, I think a lot of agents hire on because they want to make the United States of America safe and good for them. The problem is what do you commit? What acts do you commit?
In
that particular endeavor. And that's the question we're struggling with now. And the president wrestled with, I guess, for a month.
Well, I don't believe lawbreakers should get immunity in Washington, D.C., or Greeley.
Me either. Thank you very much for your call. It's 5:14, even though Greeley is a different breed of cat, too. I'm just kidding. I'm picking on my old home stomping grounds. 5:14 it is. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. The number's 303-713-7600. See, where do you weigh national security and the need to know? How much do we? And here's what I love about since I've picked on the Obama administration for not going after prosecuting perhaps the people who perpetrated these policies. Here's what I will say. Thank God we have a president who will overrule the CIA and Leon Panetta and go ahead and release this information. And I know it's already been more or less released by the Red Cross, among others. But you know what? Thank goodness we live in a presidency now that likes transparency and will do it when necessary. That's good. That's a good thing. I think the question becomes, where do we go from here? And the other issue is, we've got so many massive problems in this country. Do we really want to get bogged down in a very big partisan event right now? You know, these are the kinds of things that a president can run from the left, and a president can do that, and the right. What Bush's big mistake was, he appeased the minuscule amount of people who supported him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What Obama has the courage to do is to look at his own constituency, me included, and say, you're not going to get everything you want. I find that remarkably brave. It's 516. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. It's 303-713-7600. And on Mario's show is Scott Boylan with the Progressive Traffic, and he's coming right up. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk, filling in the afternoon this time for Mario. Nice to talk to you. It's 303-713-7600. Look, the left is erupting about this for good reason, and Andrew Sullivan had some scathing words for Mike Allen of the Politico and Atlantic.com because he quoted a Bush administration and took out a lot of the ad hominem attack. And he says, you know, under what reasoning does Politico's Mike Allen give the following piece the spin of anonymity? Allen is allowing a member of the administration that broke the Geneva Conventions and committed war crimes to attack the current president and claim, without substantiation, that the torture worked. He then allows the top official to proclaim things that are at least very highly questionable. What journalistic standard is Allen following to allow anybody to speak anonymously? You know, that's a very good question, and I'm glad Andrew Sullivan is still on the case. You know, it is just not going to go away, this story, I don't think, for a while. And I think it should be, you know, I do think that Barack Obama is going to have to be held to account with this. 303-713-7600, in the sense that every time after this, on any decision about these kinds of matters, for example, the situation with the NSA using still wiretapping and using perhaps abrogating the Constitution on its way to do it, with the prison camp over in Afghanistan that's still holding people that were rendered into other countries. I love that word, rendered, as if there's some sort of sauce. They were rendered, you know, and taken to other countries, tortured. Now we're still keeping them there and not bringing them to trial. What part of habeas corpus does this law professor not embrace? And that's part of the problem and part of the questions that we must act. Now, the rescued captain is back in his home state and likes a low profile, which is kind of refreshing. And we're going to also talk about a number of other things up to and including the banks. The banks are now saying, we want to pay you the money back. We want to pay you the money back because we don't want you to tell us what to do with how much we pay our executives. And since that only covers the capital part, we'll take your loans, but we don't want your capital anymore. We're going to give it back. By the way, many of them posting record profits. You know, I've been sort of holding my fire on this for a while now, thinking, well, maybe there's some reason why, you know, the banks have got to get more confidence and inject it back into the marketplace. Excuse me, if you guys are making profit, then start loaning money. And maybe we should make it so that you cannot cling to other lifelines like lines of credit if you're not going to loan small business and other people, mortgage buyers, money. Maybe that's going to have to, you know, hey, what's wrong with you? Now, and I also would like to know if you think we ought to be talking to Cuba. I think it's a great idea. I hope that something is accomplished at these various meetings. How about you? Those are just some of the things on my mind this afternoon. And I'm also going to do a quick rant on Greeley, too. And maybe we'll play a little more of Olbermann. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart. And, of course, there's Rick Perry, the buffoon who's governor of Texas. What is it about Texas? Is there something in the water? There must be something in the water, right? Because those guys are just crazy. This guy's talking about, oh, I didn't really mention seceding. I just kind of thought about it. Well, you know what? I say go. As long as, you know, I don't really want you to take everybody with you because I have some friends in Texas and some family in Texas. But, you know, if you need to go, Rick, you go. Goodbye. See you later. 303-713-7600. Maybe you could secede. That would be good. 303-713-7600. Blah, blah. Rick Perry, buffoon extraordinaire. You know, the governor of Texas actually doesn't have all that much power. So I don't think he could succeed, even if he wanted to. You know, I just don't think he could. Now, the Colorado snow is going to pile deeper. How do you deal with this kind of storm? See, I would like to rush out and whap everything off my bushes if I had lilacs about to bloom. I would be really upset. I'd be like, ah, no, don't break the branches. Don't do this. So maybe you're feeling some of that as a gardener in Colorado today. 303-713-7600. In the meanwhile, be very safe out there. Now, I have to do this rant. I have to do this rant before I go to another cut for Keith Olbermann because I want us to sort of have a freewheeling discussion. We don't have any guests this afternoon. I kind of wanted it that way. I wanted to just talk to you at 303-713-7600. The tragedy of Angie Zapata is a huge one. Zapata is a transgender. She was on her way to becoming a woman, a full-bodied woman. She was going to have an operation. The alleged killer is Alan Andrade. Some of his confession, well, I think all of his confession has been excluded because he wasn't given a lawyer. See, this is the problem with breaking the law on the way to the law, and this is why we have to have examples made, in part. But Zapata was beaten horribly and brutally with a fire extinguisher, whoever did it, and Andrade is close to doing it. She was young. She was just entering her 20s. Andrade was 32. He was accused of beating her to death because apparently she was originally born a male. He did not know that, allegedly. And Angie Zapata, by the way, one of the defense lawyer's tactics is to keep referring to her as Justin. You know what? She was a woman by any other name. And I know, you know, they have got to defend their client. But that's appalling. You know, she did not hide her transgender status according to her family. She brought boyfriends by to meet her siblings. So if this guy freaked out, who knows whether he knew or not. If she didn't hide it, then maybe we all better, you know, that's a very creepy thing. But the thing that makes me the sickest is I actually heard somebody say, well, he misled her, you know, meaning Justin, meaning Angie Zapata. Well, she misled him. She let him, you know. We don't know that for a fact, first. And second of all, even if she didn't, that's an excuse to beat someone to death? That's like Dylan Klebold kind of reasoning. That's scary. And on a, you know, we're on the weekend before Monday is the anniversary of Columbine. And you know what? I'm sorry. I know that people in CU love to smoke pot. I used to smoke pot. I have nothing against it. But can you pick another day, even if the 20th has some sort of significance for you, can you pick another day to go off and smoke pot, please? That's just like gross. I'm sorry. It's just the 20th resonates in many ways, and a lot of them are absolutely appalling. So, you know, no. You know, maybe you want to smoke a doobie and forget the 20th. But some of us remember that there are a lot of things that happened on that date. And no. Okay? No. Not a day to get high and sort of hang out. Not. 303-713-7600. The other news is on a day when the bankers are going, oh, we want to rush to repay money because we don't want any restrictions on how much we get paid. We want to be greedy. We want greed back. We want greed is good. Have they learned nothing? This is part of the problem of no consequences, okay? So Colorado's unemployment rate hits 7.5%. That's 0.3 percentage point. I'm wondering how you feel about this. 303-713-7600. I mean, that just stinks. And a marijuana forum set for CU this weekend. Okay, but do you have to have a big smokeout on Monday? Did you wait a day or two, like not when the anniversary of Columbine? It's just tacky. Or maybe we need to get over it. I don't know. I find it, my initial reaction was, yuck. which shows you how far away maybe I am from my last joint. Who knows? 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Mario Solis-Marich. And we could talk about anything you'd want, actually. I'm head up about this torture memo story, so I'm going to probably play another clip from Keith Olbermann's fine rant last night. It was one of his finest, actually, I think, of late. But on the other hand, if I'm not hitting you where you live, we can certainly talk about whatever we'd like to, including the snow, because there are a lot of road closures out there, and it must be slick and sliding. And were you like my nephew who said, oh, I don't know whether it's really going to snow. It's not really going to snow, is it? I don't know. Did it? I think it kind of did. But there have been, I think my sister said, 3 false alarms lately. So are you surprised to see a blizzard in April? And not if you live in Colorado, and not if you're a native, certainly. 303-713-7600. It's just about time to go to traffic. So I guess my question is this. What should the president do about black ops? What should our policy be? Should we be totally open and available for every kind of discovery? Aren't we glad we still have a Freedom of Information Act? I mean, yes. And aren't we glad for the ACLU? I mean, I know many of you right-wingers hate the ACLU. But you know what? They stand for principle and they stand for reason. And I'd love to hear a live ear report from the teabagging festival. I just think they looked lame. Although The Daily Show did the funniest take on it last night. He showed clips of everybody protesting, and Sean Hannity railed at protesters when they were liberal and said, oh, these are fine, upstanding Americans. Yeah, really? Really? The ones with racist signs, they were? Really? I don't think so. But in any event, he said, what's happened? It's like Fox are the hippies, CNN is the man, and MSNBC, with all of their double entendre, and we did play to great length on when I was filling in for J. Marvin earlier this week in terms of playing over and over again David Schuster's double entendre, funny as hell, about the testicular aspects of the teabagging ceremonies, let's say. So he said, and they become us at The Daily Show. Pretty funny. 303-713-7600. I'd love to talk to you at AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. And once again, it's 303-713-7600. Now it's time to Highest to Traffic with Scott Boylan on Colorado's Progressive Talk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Mario has the day off. I'm filling in. It's 35 past 5, and it's freezing and raining and snowing and snaining and blah. So it's actually going to mostly snow now. That's getting colder and colder and still freezing. Don't you love April? It's like the April Fool's first tax day and then the teabagging and now this. What? All right, so we've got a couple of topics on the table. This is the menu for this afternoon's afternoon drive. Here it is. We're talking about the Zapata murder trial in Greeley, Colorado, and we're also talking about torture, and we're talking about the anniversary of Columbine is coming up Monday, and there's been a lot in the news lately about how we're becoming even a more violent nation, people stockpiling guns. So I'd love to talk to you at 303-713-7600. Julia on a cell phone, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hello, how are you?
I'm well.
Well, very good. I had told your call screener, I'm a full-time, non-operative, transsexual woman. I live as myself 24/7, and I'm very lucky and blessed to be able to do so. But there's a lot of our group that suffers at the hand of society concerning the ignorance that, case in point, the defense for this animal that murdered Angie last
year. We have to
year.
Say allegedly. He's still innocent until proven guilty. Okay. I understand what you're saying, but I understand.
Gotcha. And every November 21st, we memorialize our dead, the transgender dead, usually concerning murder and suicide. Our suicide rate's at 30% nationwide.
Good grief.
Yeah, it's disgusting and it's horrible. I'm just blessed and lucky to be able to blend into society and have a job. But, you know, that doesn't mean I haven't suffered from depression, I haven't suffered from discrimination, and even a death threat in Montana where I transitioned before I got lucky enough to come down here. So it's just a, it's a sad life for many of us, and to have such ignorance and downright hatred and bigotry for not just the gay and lesbian community, but also the transgendered community. You know, we can't hide in a closet.
No.
You know, we're pretty much out there and in the faces of the general public every day. So I didn't mean to get on a soapbox, but
no, it's fine. But I see it now. I find this it's akin to making rape victims walk around with underpants around their knees. You know what I mean? It's like to ask her why Angie Sabata, whether or not she told him or not, whether or not she actually still was anatomically male.
That's correct. If you wanted to come down to it, I'm anatomically male. But
I understand that.
That doesn't make me any less of a woman.
And I understand that. I understand that. But
yeah.
I also wonder, have you ever had anyone be surprised, or do you tell people?
No,
I'm just curious. And it's none of my business. But
no, and that's fine. And I will certainly certainly tell you and the audience listening. I'm like Angie. I'm 42 years old. I've got a little life experience under my belt. I've been full-time for about 5 years and on hormones for about a decade.
Mm-hmm.
I play in the rivers and streams that are used to me and that I'm used to them. In other words, I don't go where people don't know what I am.
Gotcha.
In order to do so, just invest danger, and that's something that any of us, whether transgendered or not, can live without.
Amen, sister. Amen. So in terms, Julia, to explain to people, because I think a lot of people are confused in terms of, now you called yourself a transsexual.
Yes.
She's being called in the articles transgender because apparently she was on her way to becoming post-operative, wasn't she? Wasn't she thinking of doing that? I think.
She was so young. She was 18 years old.
Right.
She had a whole life ahead of her to decide such.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I am, after I socially transitioned, I consider myself a non-operative. There's really three essential terms for such. There would be a pre-op, meaning someone plans on having genital reassignment surgery.
Mm-hmm.
There is a non-operative person, like myself, where I have breasts and I have a shape. I sound like who I am because that is what I am. That's how I present. And then you would have a post-operative person, someone who actually went through the surgery in order to feel whole. You know, it's certainly a very personal journey and a very personal experience for someone to do so. And a lot of people don't understand that it's not a choice. It's just like being gay or lesbian.
Right.
You don't just decide this. Who in their right mind would decide such a thing? You just don't wake up and go, oh, I think I'll go ahead and do this to my life. No, you need to correct what happened prior to birth. So
you felt like you were a woman from the time you were born?
Since I was 3 years old.
Wow.
I knew something was not correct.
Gotcha. See, and I think that's a lot of what people don't understand, is that this was a huge and overwhelming part of your life, the desire to be a woman.
That's
even
correct.
Though you were
can't
born.
Function.
Yeah,
yeah, even though
other...
I was born anatomically male.
Male.
You just can't function. You find it difficult. It's not impossible to concentrate on anything else but correcting that. It's like an inner drive. It's like when salmon swim up in order to spawn and then die. It's an internal drive. And it's not unlike a transgendered person, whether that's male to female or female to male.
To male, right.
You just have to see it through to the end. And many of us, the end is at, unfortunately, at the end of a gun or hanging oneself or, God forbid, by the hand of someone else.
Thank you so much, Julia, for enlightening us this afternoon. I really appreciate it.
Certainly. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Josh, Dave, Chris, hang in. I'll get to you right after this break. We do have to go to traffic, though, because we want to keep everybody safe on the highways this afternoon in this blizzard. It's 5:41. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Mario, and now it's time for traffic with Scott Boylan. Hi, this is Aaron Hart at 760 AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. I had a flashback. Here's the thing. Josh, I really want to talk to you. I know you dropped off, and But I do want to speak to you because I appreciate your perspective, particularly as we're on the anniversary of the Columbine shootings. And I would very much like to talk to you. So if you have time to call back this afternoon, I'll put you up right away. I know you're probably busy, too, and everybody's busy, so I'll try to get to you because it's afternoon drive, and there we go. It's 303-713-7600. Dave in Boulder, thank you for joining us on Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hi, Aaron. Thanks.
Sure, Dave.
You know, I was trying to put this together in a nutshell because while I was waiting, I was thinking about how to be succinct. The Columbine anniversary is related to the torture in Abu Ghraib, is related to transgendered individuals who are struggling with an image they have in society, and so on. I am for prosecuting the individuals at the top. These are very equivocating men. The law is flexible. It is far too large, and they take advantage of their version of gray areas.
Well, it's like they rolled a COA, you know, they wrote a cover R behind memo just to try, you know, sort of setting it in stone. When you read it, it's very clinical. It's like, we will allow this to happen this way. It will go down this way. You can smash his head up against the wall, but don't, you know, go below a certain caloric content. I mean, it's like ridiculous. It's an obscenity. As somebody pointed out today, it's not even a very good legal reasoning at all. It can be ripped to shreds instantly.
The industry of war and the industry of producing pharmaceuticals like shooters are on SRIs. That doesn't get publicized, but most of the shooters are on SRIs, including boys at Columbine. And their life is one that they look through the lens of television and see this amazing corruption so that everyone sees that there are way too many bad guys. And we're willing
Does come down to the other, I think, whether we're talking about, you know, and I did make a link because I guess maybe I tend to see things in sort of a global or trying to see it in a global perspective. And David Sirota's column in The Post also made me think about it in terms of, you know, is it really true? It's not just video games. It's not just TV. It's that we fear the other. You know, you saw it a lot at that teabagging demonstration that the Republicans held the other day. We did it when we call, you know, I mean, the left does it when we demonize people automatically as a fascist without further explanation.
Right.
You can't do that. You have to look at us, how we are, which is complicated, multi-parted human beings. And you know what? We're going to say things that offend each other sometimes. We're going to do things that offend each other.
Yes.
But we seem to take it to such extremes.
Well,
Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, you know, went so crazy. They were bullied, but they took it to an extreme that's insane. It was horrifying to watch unfold, as we all remember.
Absolutely. But there's something in the heart of us, and this is why I'm for prosecuting people like Cheney, for that matter, Rumsfeld and Lord Ashcroft and all the rest of them.
David Addington.
Yeah, it is
John
because
Yu.
We must, or this is a sham.
Does it help, though? I mean, the thing is, I agree with you. In some ways, I think, see, we're learning how powerful a symbol can be for good or ill. I mean, electing an African-American man, president of the United States, has had reverberations in all kinds of ways, I think.
Yes.
For the positive, for the good, for the wonder of our country. But on the other hand, there are also people on the other side who are being racist, who are being scary, who are buying guns. And so I agree with you. I do think the symbol of the prosecution of them is important. I wish we still lived in a day where we could have something like the Watergate hearings, which was sort of my coming to awakening as a young person, was watching that and saying, wow, my government can, but right and left, can really go after somebody when they do wrong. You know, that was the underlying message. Maybe it wasn't as far as some people would have liked, particularly with some of the crimes committed by the FBI and COINTELPRO, right? But on the other hand, the hearings about Watergate and going after Richard Nixon and having him resign in the wake of being impeached
showed
was,
that the system worked.
It showed the system worked, and it showed that our government, when push came to shove, when it really, really got serious, I almost get choked up thinking about this, that our representatives and congresspeople and senators would take care of us. I mean, I can still see the senator from Georgia, Sam, now I'm blanking on his last name. I can still see his face. I can see the people on that panel, Harold Baker. I can see them talking about this kind of
patriotism
of investigations. But we'll never see that. Even if Leahy does hold hearings,
won't. Did you hear how cynical you just sounded? We'll never see that.
We
might.
It was that we have 500 channels. It was reality.
I know. It's reality. But there's something, you know, my landlord is 82 years old. He fought in World War II.
Howard.
He was in Japan. He is a rabid right-wing Republican, formerly poet, romantic, that sort of thing. Taught at universities and so on. And he is extremely fearful. And I sat down with him and I said, you spend all day watching Fox and MSNBC, and I said that the lead story is always to sell you fear because that makes you align yourself somewhere.
Well, that's why they're scary. The Fox News Network is one of the scariest developments in our recent history, I think, for that reason. 551, thank you so much for your call. I've got to jump to traffic, though, because I've got to be mindful of the fact that there's a snowstorm out there and people need to get home in traffic. It's 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Mario, and here is Scott Boylan with Progressive Traffic. Hi, this is Aaron on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Mario's off. Maybe he's buried in a snowstorm somewhere. Who knows? Chris in Boulder, thank you for joining us on Colorado's Progressive Talk. What's on your mind this afternoon?
Hi, Aaron. How are you? Can you hear me?
I'm pretty swell. Yes, I can.
Oh, great. Well, hello? I'd like to thank you for covering the topic of torture. It's something that we, you know, don't want to think about, but it's out there.
I know.
And, you know, it's really pathetic, and it needs to be dealt with.
Do you think that Obama, the administration, handled it correctly?
Well, you know, that's a question that remains to be answered. I don't think we have all the answers on that. I mean, I'm not happy with the decision he made. Are you?
No, but I can understand some reasons why he made it. The practical reality of having to deal with the agents who are still on duty, the practical reality of having to, because it is true that they stacked the deck from the top down. They told them to go ahead and do that. They probably would not have, at least not overtly. They probably wouldn't have told the government they were doing it, unless they were doing it covertly. Do you see what I'm saying? I guess I'm not saying that. I don't think it's as serious as Keith Olbermann last night ranted about it and said that it's like, you know, we were only following orders, which was the cry of the Nazi party. And yeah. I don't think it's quite that extreme. I think it's a little different than that. But anyway, well, I could be wrong. Look, see, I think there is a belief among certain law enforcement that there is such a thing as the ticking time bomb. And screenwriters, for an example, like the ones who write for 24, where they think that if they torture somebody or they kill somebody's family member or they do something, that they will make that person be more forthcoming in giving them information.
Well, yeah.
I tend to believe all it does is make them lie and hate you more. That's what I think.
Well, I'm the story editor for a full-length feature film called The Torturer.
Mm.
And we're looking for a buyer right now, but I would like to mention, if anybody wants to go to our website, it is thetorturermovie.com.
Okay.
And we tried having an underlying theme of torture is wrong. So although it is a psycho thriller, the film does actually have some realistic scenes. There is a realistic waterboarding scene in there. And I'll tell you, it is not pretty.
I'll bet not.
And, you know, we need to end this, and the sooner the better.
Thanks very much for your call. I appreciate
sure.
it. That's thetorturermovie.com. Okay.
Yes.
I think that was it. One, Michelle in a cell phone. Thank you for joining us, Michelle. Welcome.
Hi, Aaron. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
You were talking a little while back about the banks and the record profits that they're making.
Yes,
and,
the bums.
Yeah.
And now they're saying they'll give us the money back, but only the part that's the capital money that they were given in October, because they don't, they want to repay the Treasury because they don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to,
right.
They won't want to, you know, be told not to pay people. However, the money that they're borrowing through the FDIC, they want to keep that.
Well, what I want to know is if they're making so much money, I'm not making anything on my investments.
Right, right. And why are they doing that? And also, why are they allowed not to have to have consequences for borrowing from the FDIC? I'm sorry, you don't get to go have major record-breaking profits and then and use the taxpayer's dime in terms of shoring up the assets that you got because you were too greedy to put any guard dogs on your derivatives.
Jerks. Right. But I'm sorry. My broker to tell me where I should put my money, but yet they're making these record profits. I would like to put my money wherever it is they're making their profit.
Yeah, you know, a good idea.
I'm now in Wells Fargo because I originally had a brokerage account with A.G. Edwards who got bought by Wachovia, and they got bought by Wells Fargo.
Huh. And Wells Fargo is one of the ones making good profits. I don't know.
Right.
It really is an obscenity. I agree. Thank you so much for your call. Amy on a cell phone, I'm going to get to you, but Kevin, hang in, because I'll have to get to you after this break. Amy on a cell phone, welcome.
Oh,
you've got about a minute.
The roads are really bad. I was calling about the torture. I think that we have to hold the people who tortured accountable, because it is as bad as Nazi Germany. If you're willing to torture someone, that's horrific. And by not holding them accountable, people can just say, oh, it was just my job. And that's the same thing.
What about the people who gave them the cover to do that?
Well, they have to be prosecuted as well, but you have to prosecute everyone who committed the crime. And the other thing that I want to mention, too, what that guy said about antidepressants, SSRIs.
I know.
That is in every single massive shooting. And actually, there's a person, Dr. Peter Briggan, who just wrote a book about how, like, it reads like a murder mystery about how all these antidepressants are messing with people's brains. It's a side effect. I believe it's even on the label, homicidal ideation.
We will definitely, I can't speak for everybody who's on SSRIs aren't homicidal, but I understand what you're talking about, and I have heard about that. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. Amy, we're plumb out of time for this particular time period, but we're going to come back right after the news with more of your phone calls, and they're the most important thing. It's 303-713-7600. This is the Aaron Hart version of the Mario Solis Madrid Show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Join us at either am760.net, the instant messages, or 303-713-7600.